So up to Colossians. So we're going to read the same passage you read last week, which is Colossians 3. Hey? You're just analysing the whole scenario. Analysing the tug of war. It wasn't meant to be a kids talk though. It was meant to be an adult talk. And the kids were involved. Yeah. It's an adult talk, it's for the adults. So, but the kids get the idea, they just have a bit of fun. Okay, let's read Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17. It should be on the newsletter. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek, no Jew, no uncircumcised, no barbarian, no Cretarian, Sicilian, Sicilian, I don't know, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive, so you also must forgive. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called, admonishing one another. Oh, sorry, in one body, and be thankful. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with a thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you give us your word, and thank you that it does dwell in us richly. And Lord, we pray that as it is spoken and as we think about it today, we pray that it will dwell in all our hearts richly so that we can grow more like you. We pray this through your Son, by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay. So we're sort of up to the second last chapter of Colossians, and all of what we've been doing through the course of your life is also based around Colossians as well. Last talk we looked at, you know, the putting off, the killing of the old self, those things that belong to the natural fleshly person. We looked at having the right mindset, that we are now people united in Jesus. And previously looked at our life in Jesus as being a person on a plane, and we've looked at this, but I'll keep on reminding you about this because I think it's a good illustration, that we are in him, we're in his death, and that his death is our death. And we are now in him through this new resurrected life, because his life, his new life, is our life. So we're alive, we're regenerated people. We seek and live for things above. That's what we looked at last week, looking at our mindset, looking at the things above. That Christ is actually now ruling our hearts, not the things on earth, not the fleshly things. And when it means things on earth, it means the fleshly things, the things that we once lived for, the passions, desires. And if maybe you've been a Christian for all your life, you can't remember a point, but it's the things that aren't Christ, the things that aren't Christ, that culture tells you that are okay, that they're good. So now we live in Jesus, having him rule over us, so we're his people, and we are to clothe ourselves in his character, because we are in him, we are new people, on Jesus' plane, so we have a new set of spiritual clothes to wear, because we're on the plane. Okay, so this transformation has happened through Jesus. God calls us His holy people that He has chosen in and through Jesus. God chose us in Jesus to be His people, holy people, like God. It was all God's work that caused us to have this new life. We have been transferred from darkness into His kingdom. We belong to Jesus, owned by Jesus, and now we're joined to Jesus, who is holy. So we are to be holy new people. And I thought about this, and I thought, it's a bit like a hostage situation. You know, you're someone who's been being captured by terrorists or whatever. And maybe you've, you know, become like a terrorist way there, but you come down, you know, the SWAT has come down and destroyed the enemy and lifted you up and taken away death and destruction that was all going to be happening and delivered you into a life of freedom. So now you have Christ. So Jesus came down in love, rescued us through the cross, dying on the cross, making His death our death. And that's the story of the whole redemption of the Bible. That's what the Bible is about, that we have a new life now in Him through the resurrection. But as we have that new life, we still have an old life that's still sort of lingering around, don't we? We still have pressures that are out there in our world. We are cleaning up the past and making a new life. And this is all a result of God rescuing us and us being rescued. We are His holy people, yet there's still those pressures. And what I thought about was, as new people in Christ, we have a spiritual wardrobe in our hearts. You know, I want you to visualize it. You have a spiritual wardrobe in your heart. And it might be a fine theological fault, I don't know this, but one rack is the clothing of righteousness in Christ. Clothing of righteousness in Christ and being in Christ and who Christ is. And now that we're in Him, they're the things we're meant to be putting on in that rack. Because these are spiritual clothes. We're His chosen people. We belong to Him. We're on the plane. So therefore, they're the things we should be putting on. Then there's another rack. These are the ways of self. These are maybe old ways, maybe the ways of how people live for themselves. What the Bible calls our fleshly nature, the life that is all about us. The nature that says, I don't want to do things God's way. I don't want to be like God. I want to live for myself. Selfishness. You know? These clothes are the hurtful things. These are unloving things, selfish things, lazy things, lazy ways. That are complete opposite of Jesus. See, in Jesus, all these clothes have been put to death on the cross in your life. If you put your trust and faith in Jesus, they've been put to death. You're a new person. So instead of clothing ourselves in these old clothes of self, we go to the new rack in Jesus because we see those things as dead. Because that's not who we are. They don't belong. But the old rack is still present. It's lost its power, but we can still see it. And those garments are trying to lure us to put them on. They're trying to lure us. And we feel the tension of that new people. It's going to be hard work because each old garment brings back a memory. You know, like sometimes you have an old T-shirt or a shirt or a top and you have memories associated to that thing. Well, those garments have memories to them, don't they? You know, sometimes it made you feel good or made you feel comfort or whatever it was. But then we got these new clothes. They're the ones we're meant to focus our lives on. Now we're going to look at what those clothes are and how those clothes, what those clothes produce in us and how they make us more like Christ. Put on then, verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. You know, as new people in Christ, we're completely different people. You know, we live a life now clothed with compassion. You know, we actually care. We actually care. You know, God is compassionate to us. God cared. He didn't just pity us. You know, you go, oh dear, you know, poor things. No, His compassion had an action to it. He actually did something. So we're to clothe ourselves with compassion. That's our new selves. No longer being harsh to people, but find loving ways to help and serve others. Completely different. Our culture doesn't have this very much. We see glimpses of it. We are to clothe ourselves in kindness. Our lives are no longer revolving around our own self-centeredness. That was the old way. Now we seek the good for others. This can be seen in encouraging others, as we forgive others, as we love others, how we want to see others grow. A kind person is no longer abrupt, but speaks from a heart of love. You feel the same way towards others as God feels towards you. It's a transformation. It's all about Christ. It's all about, you've got to keep focused on Christ. It's because of what Christ has done for us, we reciprocate. We live in a culture that's all about promoting yourself, isn't it? It's all about you. It's all about, you know, you taking the front stage. But these things are to be put off and replaced with humility. That's the next characteristics of the person, the new person in Christ. They're a humble person. That's hard. That's hard. I struggle with that. How often are we trying to prove ourselves to other people in what we say and what we do? You know, maybe it's our new, you know, things that we buy or the conversations that we have. We try and make ourselves seem important. Our new clothes stand out because we're not out to outdo each other. You clothe yourselves in humility rather than self-importance. And like I said, that's hard work because our culture feeds us well in that. Facebook feeds us well in that. You know, everything of what we do feeds ourselves. We feed ourselves on it. It's a competitive spirit of in our culture, but we are to be new people in Christ. Our culture, our old self, our desire to come out on top with the best story, the best lifestyle, the best possessions, the best conversations. But now we are to be humble people. We are to clothe ourselves in humility. And yet within that, we are privileged people. We are God's chosen people. Yet, it was Christ who humbly became a servant for us. Who chose a servant nature over self-promotion. The fact that our God, our Creator, was born in a farm shed is overwhelming. To know the humility of our God. And yet we think we can self-promote ourselves. And yet our God within himself doesn't. We know his evidences are in creation. We know that God has a glory that it's just there. But God chose humility because it's part of his character. We're to put on meekness as God's new people. 2 Corinthians 2:10 talks about the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And often we think of meekness as a sort of a weakness, like as if it's wimpy, but Jesus was meek, but he wasn't a wimp. He wasn't a wimp. Meekness is having a controllable strength. A meek person is someone who controls themselves. They don't lose control when people attack them. They are new people that have self-control under fire. It's a strength that doesn't get angry when you believe you have the right. It takes a new garment in Christ to suffer rather than fight back. Jesus, when he was on the cross, got insults spoken to him, hurled at him, and he died. And he could have poured out God's wrath. But he chose to take it all for us in meekness, not in weakness. And these are hard new ways to clothe ourselves in. They're challenging. But we're to put these new clothes on because they are ours to wear. They belong on the rack, on the Jesus rack, because we are in him. And this leads to patience, and something we all struggle with is patience. We all struggle with these things. We often excuse our anger when we are impatient. Patience is something also translated as long-suffering. It's putting on clothes of patience. A garment of patience when wrong things happen, rather than grabbing the old garments, the old rags of anger and seeking to slander others, we respond in love, even when others treat us badly. Patience. Now God is patient. How often is God patient with you? Every day. Every day our God is patient with us. Every day Jesus is patient with us. He's patient with our world. And if Jesus is patient with us, if Jesus holds back his wrath from us, how could we, if we're in him, do anything different? How could we think we have greater rights than Jesus? Yes, yes, our God, he has a righteous anger. His anger also flows within his nature of love and patience, and it's all there. But we had to put off anger, which is a result of the things not going our way. Or when people don't do things that we expect them to do. God is angry at sin. His wrath is against ungodliness. But remember that God's anger and wrath is no longer against us. It's been dealt with on the cross. I've done a research on the computer, and someone might be able to correct me here, but I can't see in the New Testament, but someone might find it for me, where in Christ, where God is still angry at us. All I could come up with was that the Holy Spirit grieves when we sin. The Holy Spirit grieves when we sin because it's saying, this is not the person you should be. You are in me. You are a new person in me. God's wrath is revealed against the ungodly. Not those in Christ. That's what Colossians has already taught us. The Holy Spirit grieves when we put on the old clothes because we are now connected to God. We are his people. We are his chosen people. We are saying to God, we love those old clothes more than you. We love being in this cloth, this garment, the being in you. That's the truth. It gets down to the heart. That's what it is. God has given us his Spirit because as God's people, he wants us to grow and to renew our lives to be like Christ. That's good news because God is on our side. We can't do this in our own strength. This is not some sort of works gospel where you can sort of try and do all these things in favor of God. No, God gives us everything to do this. And we know this walk is going to be for the rest of our lives until Christ comes again. We've seen that in that song, more of you and less of me, and then all of you one day and none of me. But don't resist the Holy Spirit's work in convicting you to be proactive in your walk. That's what it's there for. It's to point you to Christ, to make you more like Christ. Verses 14, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, clearly this letter was written to a community of God's people who are no longer living as people of self, but they're living as God's family. They're no longer living unloving, harsh, hateful lives. They've been called to live a new life, to be kind and compassionate, to build each other up in love, and to be putting on this new life, this new garment. Not acting, not putting on like as if you're putting on a good act, but actually making proactive choices like we've seen in the tug of war, proactive choices to whose clothes you are putting on, whose clothes you are putting on, to clothe your mind and your speech in the love of Christ, the same love that Christ lavished on us. We reciprocate that to others because we know what God's true love is like. The same people God has withheld his wrath from, rather than the same people that God has withheld his wrath from, which is the people of the church, we withhold our anger. Rather than hinder others' growth, we deal with things. We resolve conflicts. We're now peacemakers who have Christ's peace ruling in our hearts. If we live with the old cloths, live with the old garments, disunity, disorder, people won't grow. They don't have a place. We are people speaking God's truth to each other, teaching and correcting, admonishing is correcting. So in love we're teaching, but also we're correcting. You know, this is about the body of Christ together. This is not me up the front. This is about everyone having a role to play. Now we are speaking truth rather than lying to each other. We're letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. So that means we're reading God's word. That means we're knowing God's word because we need to for it to dwell richly in us so we can flow on to other people. So you can be God's people. How much of God's word do you take home each week from a message? How much does it dwell in you richly? Could this be one of the reasons why you're not growing in Christ? Could it be that you don't have a life that is dwelling in the word of God, letting it dwell in you richly, because you're putting on the wrong clothes? You're in the wrong part of the closet. Because the only clothes you know are those clothes on the old rack. Because the word of God isn't dwelling in you richly, they put on the new clothes. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you fill your world and your life with anything but God's word and God's truth, then you're never going to grow with the right garments. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. You know, don't just come to church or to study or to one-to-one just to tick a box. Desire for the word of God to dwell in you richly so you can know the garments of Christ to put on in your life. Read the Bible. Think about, mull over things. Let it dwell in you richly. As I studied these passages and I thought about all these garments of the new life in Christ, I realized my life doesn't always clothe in Christ. You know, that I'm guilty of putting on the garments in the old rack. But it's only for me as I studied the Word that I realized this. As I studied the Word, as I studied for this message, I realized that I need more of God's Word to dwell in me richly. And God's Word dwells a lot in me, but I need more of it to dwell in it richly. And if you've got a minimal, you need more. You need more of it to grow, to dwell in you. So it's times like this, and I went, you know, Lord, I need you to help me. And the Spirit was convicting me, saying, you know, I need to put on the right garments. I need God. Are you being convicted? As you hear this, you've been convicted by the wrong garments that you've been putting on in your life. Is the Holy Spirit saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And as the word of God's word flows through us richly, it becomes like a river. It flows on, and within our new community, within our church, it flows on. If the word of God is flowing in you richly, it's going to flow into other people. It's going to flow. You know, it's got the singing, the songs, the teaching, correcting, building each other. It's all there as a community. A community of people doing this. You know, maybe it's, you know, the one-to-one studies is a bit of a model of that, to let the word of God dwell in each other richly. Because this new community is about discipleship. It's about growing each other. And the word of God is like a river that flows into our minds and our hearts and out to others. It's not simply a dam that stores everything up. Sometimes we think that, oh, that's good for me, that's good for me. But sometimes think when you're hearing this message, say, who can this help? Who can I grow further in Christ? How can I read this to someone and say, hey, these are the sort of characteristics I need in my life and your life? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, because you are God's chosen people. And you belong to God's body, which is in Christ, this is the church. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked, and you lived in them, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self, with its practices, and it put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. You know, don't feed those things that are not of Christ. Don't justify. Don't excuse them. Don't say, it's not like I'm doing a big thing wrong. If you're in Christ, they don't belong. They are things Jesus has died for, so that it was put to death on the cross. Now that we are in Christ, we are putting to death these ways. I want you to visualize. I want you to really think. Each day, each time you're involved in a conversation, in your daily life, you face pressures of situation, hardships, challenges. And you go into the closet of your heart and mind, and you have a choice to put on two kinds of outfits, which has two kinds of identity, which tell you who you are. There's the unclean, old scrunched up, out-of-date clothes. Or there's the brand-new designer labels, brand-new designer clothes. Which are you going to put on? The old you once walked in with ignorance to God and His wrath, or the new clothes that are clean, setting your minds on those things in Christ, that shines Christ, that shows your identity as His chosen royal people. You have a choice, because it's having the right mindset, the right heart. It's about knowing who you really are in Christ. Are you going to put on the old self that spoke lies and wants to present things falsely and slanders and attacks people? Or are you, who are in Christ, a new person? And are you going to clothe yourselves in humility? The old self with its harassment on our lives is still there. But we are putting on these new clothes. And there's a tug of war, isn't there? There's a tug of war. The self that the old rack will convince you that these are really good clothes. Remember? These are really good clothes, but they're not. Jesus says they're not. You know they're not, and it's hard. It's really hard. But don't let them deceive you. Don't let them present to you something they're not. That's what they do. They dress themselves up as new, better clothes than Christ. A bit like the Wicked Witch in Snow White, how she made herself look beautiful and all those story time, bedtime stories, you know. The truth is, like the Wicked Witch, is going to poison you. It's hard because it presents itself so powerfully. But remember that Christ has delivered you because these old ways of self led to death. So know that they lead to death. Because Jesus says they lead to death. That's why He had to die on a cross. To bring spiritual life to you who are dead. And now we're putting on Jesus, clothing yourselves in righteousness as His holy people, bringing life. These are the things we're putting on is what we're going to be fully, eternally with Christ. That's why we're putting them on, because that's who we really are. That's how we will really live one day. Now we are people being changed, renewed into the identity of Christ. And so our world sees that. And it's attractive. And it's different. Because they see this mini trailer, this little movie clip of the kingdom of God in us, in a community. You know, we are the most elite, privileged, chosen kingdom people. There is no one outside of Jesus that shares in what we share. We are not proud. We are not arrogant. We are not self-righteous people. We are to put on humility, patience, kindness, meekness. We are to forgive and love as humble people who belong to the King, because we are forgiven and loved, so we love and forgive others. Isn't it amazing the new life we have in Christ? That it's all through Jesus that we have this, and Jesus is the focus. You know, it's Jesus who we believe in, we put our faith in, our trust in. It's Jesus who died on the cross, and it's Jesus who we imitate. It's Jesus who we in all through Christ. And we live in this world of culture that we feel like we don't belong because we are on the Jesus plane. But we've got to live here for a while. And we've got to put on those garments that Christ has called us to be in Him. Go to the wardrobe and put on what's fitting for your new life in Jesus. Don't allow the old garments to convince you. The old things that are worn out, go to the right rack in your mind and heart. Don't go looking through the bags that should be put on the bonfire. Whose pants do you really wear in Christ? Whose pants do you really wear in your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that Your word really speaks to our hearts, that we struggle so much. We struggle so much to put on the right garments in our life. The right garments that belong to our new life in You. So often all we see is our old garments, but Lord, if we pray that we and richly dwell on you. We think about you, we think about who you are, and we seek to stop and think within our lives, which garment are we going to put on right now? Which garment? Which piece of clothing? Which one belongs to really me, and which one is presenting itself as a false hope, a false reality that is already branded, I lead to death, but trying to disguise itself as saying and presenting, I'll give you life. Lord, we have eternal life in you already. And Lord, help us to renew our minds to know this, set our minds on you so that we can know who our true identity is. We pray this through the power of your Spirit and through you, Lord Jesus. Amen.